Now, friends, in chapter 1, we saw the call and commission of this man Jeremiah. And it was very impressive. I trust it was that way to you. God called him as a young man, probably 20 years of age when he called him. And we are told here very definitely that the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And he was 8 years old when he began to reign. So he was at this time 21 years old, and Jeremiah was 20 years old. These two knew each other, very definitely so, because the father of Jeremiah found the book of the law in the temple, and he brought it to the king, and it was the basis of the revival that came to pass during his reign. Now, these two young men began their ministry, in one sense, as young men. And we have here now two young men. Now, he makes it very clear that he felt incapable. He felt unworthy. He felt that he could not measure up to the office of a prophet. And he offered that as an excuse. God says, I'm going to put my words in your mouth, and you'll be giving my word. And may I say that to me this is a tremendous chapter. I hope it is to you. And I want to say this. Now, I know there are those that say, yes, you're retired now, and retired preachers always telling everybody else how they should do it. But I want to make this statement. I'm going to risk that chance of being labeled as one that's trying to tell everybody else how to do it. But I do not believe that any man ought to stand in the pulpit and give a message until he's sure that he's giving the Word of God. If he has any doubts, or if he feels like he should give his own ideas and preach a liberal social gospel, my point is that he ought to stay out of the pulpit. He's got no business being there, because today the important thing. Now, I don't care how much homiletics you have, I don't care how much hermeneutics you have, and I don't care how much theology you've had, and I don't care about all this sophisticated training today, unless you're confident you're giving the Word of God, you ought to stay out of the pulpit. That's important. I think it's very important. Now we come here in chapter 2 to the first message that this man Jeremiah gave, and he gave it to a backslidden nation. I'm going to give you here a few of the details and the mechanics. And I recognize on radio that we can get bogged down in this type of thing, but the next few chapters are rather important, and we'll not understand them until we understand the background. Chapters 2 through 6 was given during the first 5 years of Jeremiah's ministry. You see, he began, we were told, in the 13th year of the reign of this man. And these messages were in those first 5 years, before the finding of the book of the law. And then in chapters 7 through 9, the messages there have to do with the cleansing of the temple and the discovery of the book of the law. And that was in the 18th year of the reign of Josiah. And then chapters 10 through 12, you have messages that are messages that came in the time of the period of reform and revival after finding the book of the law. And we're going to discover that that revival was a very surface sort of thing. It was an experience sort of thing. No great emphasis upon the Word of God. And it'll never be a real revival, friends, until there is a real emphasis upon the Word of God. Now, in order to orient you into where we are, and that's the reason I think the prophetic books should be studied along with the historic books. And therefore, I want to turn back to the 34th chapter of 2 Chronicles and see if we can't fit ourselves into this particular place in history. I'm reading now from 2 Chronicles, the 34th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Now here's an outstanding king right at the end of the kingdom of Judah. And now I keep reading verse 3. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And now it was during that period, that these first 5 years, that Jeremiah is prophesying. Now will you notice, and they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that were on high above them. He cut down in the groves and the carved images and the molten images. He broke in pieces, made dust of them, strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder, cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now, verse 8 says, now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joahah, the son of Jehoahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And it was then that Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord that was given to Moses. You see, there weren't many copies. Two, one for the king, one for the priests, and they'd been lost. The word of God, you see. Now Jeremiah comes out, and will you listen to him? This is a period, as we've seen when we read this historical section. They had gone into idolatry. They had forsaken the living God. And this second chapter, but the first prophecy that he gave is a wonderful prophecy. I think it would be difficult to find any portion of Scripture that would surpass this particular section in genuine pathos and tenderness, and it's eloquent. And that's the thing we want to notice. You find here the earnest pleading of a God who has been forgotten and insulted. His grace and compassion towards the guilty nation, blended with solemn warnings of dreadful days to come if the heart's not turned back to him. Altogether, that make this discourse now coming up one of the great ones that we have in the Word of God. Now, actually, this first one begins here with chapter 2 and goes through chapter 3, verse 5. This is the first one that is given. And now we have it fitted in to that particular period when this man, Josiah the king, was seeking the Lord. But he didn't have the word of God. But he knew one thing, that idolatry should be put down.